This is a bizarre story, to say the least. And, I mean, there are so many layers here. I want to get that right away with you. And I'm just going to ask you, keeping in mind that we don't know, we being the media fans, we don't have the full context of that conversation. We just have a snippet on a hot mic. You've been in a position where you've obviously officiated games. Can you see in your mind, can you imagine what Tim Peel was talking about?
Well, I've mulled this over since I first heard about it the first thing this morning, Jeff and Stephen, and my first reaction would be is, let's talk about the caliber of the game, the potential caliber of the game, and I'll give you a couple of examples. Just say New York Rangers playing New York Islanders, or Philly playing Washington, or Edmonton playing Calgary. Games that we could think of in advance, they're going to be tough hockey games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need Scotty Morrison to call me and say, Brian, you better be ready. I am. So my intensity goes up a little bit, and therefore I'm looking for and want to maintain control from the moment I drop the puck until the last whistle is blown in the game. I don't sense this happened here. There's nothing to indicate that it was a tough hockey game, nothing to indicate it was going to be a tough hockey game. Two teams that are not in the playoffs, and it's one of those games you should enjoy. And by that I'm saying here is I think then this gets coupled with the fact all the years, whether I would be the boss or whether I'd be on the ice, the key word here is marginal penalties. We don't want marginal penalties in any game. The players don't want them. And whether scoring championships won on a power play goal, you can go on and on and on over things that may or may not happen. And I think here is that the one word that jumped out at me the first thing this morning here, I don't care whether you're doing a peewee game in Georgetown or whether you're doing an NHL game in Toronto or wherever. The integrity of the officiating industry has now been put out in the front and out in the center, and as a result, will be challenged. And I would say to you guys, if you refereed a game today, you're going to hear about this.
Yeah, I think it's a bad look, Brian. And I know, like, I'm just looking at the summary from that game because, I wasn't sitting and watching Nashville and Detroit last night, but it looks like nothing was going on in that game. You know, it's not like he was trying to avert a bloodbath here or anything. It's, as you say, it's two teams that are, you know, one that's by definition a non-contender. One's, fringy as a playoff team at best. There was one minor called in the first period. One interference minor called in the first period. And the Arvidsson penalty comes, 5 minutes into the second period of a game where, there's nothing going on. We will never completely unravel the mystery of the why, but there's nothing looking down at that game. We say, well, maybe this is what he was thinking. It's just not there.
Well, also, Stephen, I look at it from another aspect as well, from a management position. I'm looking at, I happen to have been the referee chief the year we brought in the two referee systems. I'm aware of what the mechanics were then, and the mechanics are basically the same now. If Jeff Blair's refereeing and he's a referee on the north end of the rink, part of his function is to stay with and watch the action area. The reality is he could actually turn a look at the corner and look at the boards, which everything we're not supposed to do. But the thing with the idea being then, my fellow referee, Stephen Brunt, is out at the blue line, and he can watch the rest of the ice. This is the action area. It's not his call to make. It's not as if he's out there that you're out there with a rookie, and you've got to cover for Jeff Blair because he may or may not have made this call. That's his call to make. So then I look at and say, okay, to me, there was a mechanical breakdown here. Mechanical breakdown in the fact we don't need somebody 65 feet, 3 inches away to come in and make a call that the deep referee is supposed to be making. I looked at that and said, I don't like that. I don't even like it when I'm involved in university hockey today. But sometimes if it's a rookie referee and you may have the veteran who wants just to help to maintain law and order, this game did not need law and order. The players were doing that. Just to your point, Steve, when you look at the stats alone, these guys were playing hockey. Give them the puck, tell them to bring it back when the game is over.
Yeah.
And the other part to that, I just throw in here, in this day and age, there's microphones all the way around the building. Never mind the fact the officials have got one clipped to their lapel.
Yeah.
We should know better, guys. And I mean, I'm also involved in politics, and you guys in the sports media. There are things you can and cannot say. Most of them you can't say. And I think here, not only a bad choice of words, it just has implied something that our industry doesn't need.
What word in particular got your attention?
Well, I guess the part that, and I don't have them written down here in terms
right.
of, I needed that penalty, or I wanted that penalty.
Okay. Against a team, against a specific team.
All right.
Let me give you one of my personal examples. And sure. I still hear from Nate Greenberg with the Boston Bruins from 15 years ago, who maintains that one night in New York Island that Brian Lewis called six straight penalties on the Boston Bruins. All right. And whether they're good or bad, who really cares? And my immediate reaction to Nate was then, and it was last week, then that means the next one is seven. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that, so to me, it's the style of play that dictates here. And I see nothing in this game that says, whatever referee has to take over. The secondary part. So the style of play is one thing I've noted here. We can say here that he's lost a paycheck for 1 month because he was going to retire on April the 24th. The part that jumps out at me the most, after doing more than 1,000 games in the National Hockey League, traditionally, he would have a retirement event. He would do his last games. Hockey players would tap him on the butt cheeks and say, way to go, thanks, Tim, about the whole bit. And I know that was scheduled.
Wow.
That will now not happen. That, to me, is the biggest kick in my backside that I could ever think of as an official.
Well, like I mentioned when I was talking to Steve, there's another official in the ice, and I've got to think the NHL talked to Kelly Sutherland. And, you know, it's one of those things we probably won't know exactly how it transpired, but that would certainly, I just don't think, look, I don't know any Tim Peel's personality, his history or anything, but I cannot imagine that the NHL would do this unless they have something.
Do a little bit of homework, gentlemen. Let's do it this way. First of all, I can guarantee you the National Hockey, with the war room being what it is and monitors and all that kind of stuff, now, there were no secrets. They would be well aware of what happened last night. I'm quite certain of that. Mm-hmm. And then when I read this morning that Referee Chief Steve Wacom and Vice or President Bill Daly were doing an investigation, I want to say within a very few hours, there was an announcement made, which I would say this, that Coley Campbell made, and to me, those words are right on the money.
Mm.
For not only for what was done wrong, for what it implies, everything that we don't want in the officiating business. And I could cite to you, I sit here with a book called Impartial Judgment. I'd like to read a quote to you that
sure.
I got from a Mendy Rudolph, who was a former NBA official, that I put on the back of my business cards because it's officiating at any level. And I simply point out here, it's very, very unfortunate. And a little bit of what I said before here, the most unfortunate part I find is the impact. I'll get over the fact that I'm missing a paycheck for a month. I'll get over the fact that I'm not with my buddies. But you know what the toughest thing is? This is what you're remembered for. And I think if we did a little bit of homework, we're going to find out that Tim Peel had his knuckles wrapped before for doing something he shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Was he not?
Yeah, we may. Well, what? Yeah, I was saying to Jeff earlier, Brian, like the swiftness with which the NHL acted here, that's not necessarily the way the league always acts. Like the fact that it took just a few hours for them to make this decision tells you something.
Doesn't that tell us a lot of homework was being done last night, probably virtually immediately? I mean, I'm guessing at that part of it, but I would think here that when things are that bad the negativity is easy to jump on, and this is very much negative. And I'll just call it the officiating business in general. I don't care what sport it is you're doing here. And I look at it here, and I have a book called The Psychology of Officiating. What's one of the head titles? Integrity.
Mm.
And at the summary, the last sentence is, call them as you see them. Well, that's fine. We can say call them as they see them. But then when you couple that, had he said nothing, we argue about a good penalty, bad penalty, marginal call, and all that kind of stuff, that if you make a whole bunch of those, you're not working playoffs, which none of these things were going to be an issue because he was retiring on April the 24th.
Right.
So those aren't issues, and that's what I said before. I'll get over the one-month paycheck that I lost, but the toughest part is to turn to my family and say, I'm sorry, you will not be coming to my final game because I've already had it. That, to me, is the most troublesome part.
Brian, let me ask you this, because I know that this happens in the NBA and it happens in other sports, but because I was trying to figure out, is there any way that an NHL director of officiating may have... said to the officials before the game, hey, we're going to emphasize watching this right now. Because, look, you know, these teams are playing a lot of games against each other. Something may have happened in a previous game, but somebody may have said something. I don't know. But would that happen? Would that happen where the referees would be told before the game by somebody, Stephen Walcom or somebody else, hey, you know, keep an eye on this. This happened, you know, whenever, March 6th, then we just want you to be aware of this.
But you know what it would be? It would just be a general terminology relative to the style of play.
Okay.
All right.
And
let's say it's a penalty-filled game between Edmonton and Calgary. And whether Scotty Morrison or whether I, as the referee chief, would call somebody and say, you know, you knew that already. As soon as you get your assignments, you know, holy moly, this is not one here. This is not going to be a free ride to this hockey game. I got to work. I got to be ready. I got to be prepared mentally, physically, and all those kind of things before I get to the rink. And I want to be ready. And sometimes you can overpump. And then that's when you put your arm in there and you think, oh, God, I wish my arm would fall off. Or can I suck the whistle back into my, or the noise back into my whistle? And all those things. Why? And some on your way to the penalty box, the player may say, that's a bad call. That's whatever. You know, he might be right. But the unfortunate part, that's a judgment call that I've made at the time. I don't recall ever giving a phone call to anybody and saying, you got to do this, you should do that. Now is not the time to be changing any tactics. Mm. The players are going to dictate how hard I have to work tonight. And in this particular case, there was no need to overwork. And as I said before, I talk about positioning and I talk about experience of one guy versus the other guy. None of these things seem to kick in here. And then couple it with what I would say is a bad choice of words.